My name is Gerard Meher. I am a dairy farmer in East Limerick, Cappamore, County Limerick. I'm milking 80 cows. I'm farming 200 acres in total. The farm is divided into three. We're stocked to the cow to the acre on the grazing platform. And we have the rest of the land in is in two divides a couple of miles away from the farm where the replacement stock and all the calves are kept and silage is made. I have a pedigree British Friesian herd of cows. With the British Friesian, then our bull calf has a value. So we keep all our calves here. Our land type here is quite heavy. If we were to get bad weather, it really affects poaching and things like that. So a high stocking rate wouldn't be suited to the type of ground that I'm farming. So that's why we always kind of focused on a lower stocking rate, but a higher producing cow. So less cows, but more productive cows. And by no means am I a high input farmer. Like, I wouldn't be spreading a lot of fertilizer. I don't feed a lot of feed. I suppose I take a lot from what the way my father would have farmed and my grandfather and his father before him. And that ethos is not to panic and sure everything will be fine. And it is like farming's gone very, can be very intensive. And when I left Ag College, it was all about hitting targets and profit per hectare and having a good profit monitor. And when you'd go to the group meetings, you were trying to be the best at the group. And I could never hit the targets with the type of land I have. I love what I do. All these targets they were making me miserable because I couldn't reach the targets that were being set. My farm just wasn't able to achieve what farms were achieving. And like, you're not comparing like with like. Like, when you compare a free draining sile below in Moorpark, you compare a heavy sile in East Limerick, like, you're not going to achieve the same level. So, like, I was never going to have the same stocking rate. That was fine for me, but I still felt inferior when I went to farm walks, as if, oh, sure, this fella, he's at nothing. It's hard to... I'm happy when I'm on my own, but when you're in a group of other people, you're like, maybe I should be spraying the fields. I suppose the biggest thing I've done is I stopped spraying the paddocks with pesticides. I was always striving for perfection before, like, you know, you'd be just green fields all the time. It can be a stressful environment trying to keep everything neat and tidy when nature isn't neat and tidy. And it can be, like, we had a problem with ragwort and I was always spraying for it every year. And I was like, I just could not get rid of it. And I kind of, in a finish, I give up. But one of the main... turning points for spraying the weeds was I was always spraying along by the fences, but I was spraying one evening and there was one corner of the field and it was overgrown with thistles, and I said, I go over now and then spray these, and I noticed that evening it was just alive with butterflies. And I said to myself, sure, if I spray this now, where are they going to go? Like, do you know, if anyone heard me, they'd think I was mad. But I was like, so they have to go somewhere. And I looked around and, like, there was nothing. There was nowhere else. So I kind of, I left it alone. And I haven't used the spray in about 3 years. The outside farm never gets sprayed. And what I've noticed is the weeds are coming back, but not at the rate I thought they'd come back. And they're not at the level where it bothers me. You know, I'm involved in discussion groups and I go to farm walks and all that. And the perception I give to other farmers is probably that I'm half-assed or I'm not productive, which is not the case because my cows are producing as much milk as anyone else's herd. That's the hardest thing I find with it, is that when I do host a farm walk, there's a lot of judgment there that, oh, look at this guy, he's more thistles along under his wire and he's nettles everywhere. You talk about multi-species and people putting in multi-species to get increased biodiversity, but like with nature, less is more. Like, just leaving the field alone and let nature grow itself, you'll have as much biodiversity as you would sowing a crop. for biodiversity. When I was younger and we were making the cows, I used to hate having to send cows to the factory, or I used to hate mistreating of animals. And that goes with all animals, like that would be wildlife as well. Like we were always, I can always remember feeding birds from a young age and watching out for different things like that. If I saw a different bird, I'd notice it. Like it's not like something that you wouldn't take any heed of. Even my wife knows now since she started coming out on the farm. She can't get over the amount of the noise in the morning and in the evening of all the birds. And I said, like, they've always been there. I always knew the impact of intensive agriculture on the type of land that I'm farming. I also had to go a step further again and buy my own slurry equipment because my contractor, whoever was who contract in to do the slurry, they'd always over-apply the slurry because all they wanted to do was empty your tank and move on to the next farm. You could have 100,000 gallons of slurry and they just want to get it all out the one day. There is more time involved, but I can go little and often now. You reduce the risk then of this heavy load of nutrients. And that has reduced my fertilizer inputs hugely. Like I'm down to like your typical dairy farm and would spread 250 kilos of nitrogen. While last year I only spread 140 kilos of nitrogen, and I'm with the current fertilizer prices, I'm hoping to get that down to 100, and still grow the same grass. Well, I suppose one of the main things is we have 20 acres of forestry on the grazing platform here at home. It's due for clear felling at this point in time, so we put in for a felling license. Now it's a mixture of hardwoods and softwoods, so it's half and half. And we were walking through it, and he said, "This took so long to grow. It has grown for the last 30 years." And I said, "This will all be wiped out in a couple of hours." So my plan is to take out all the weaker trees and leave the mature trees grow naturally and to let the cows into the forestry every 40 or 50 days on a rotation so that when they go into the forestry, they'll root up the ground and do a bit of scratching. And that'll improve biodiversity in the forest because at the moment there's very little. Like it's so dense with trees, there's very little biodiversity in there. So my plan is I'm basically converting the forestry to agroforestry, but not ever harvesting the timber out of it. So, and if it works, I'll probably end up planting more of the farm in that way so that you can still go in and take out a field of silage between the trees. The trees will be planted in such a way that you can still work the land, but you'll have shelter from the prevailing winds, you'll have shelter from the searing heat for the cows. You look out the window on a wet day, and the only bit of shelter the cow has is a wire. If cows are kept comfortable, they'll produce more. Like dairy farming in Ireland as a whole, if you were to compare it to other countries, we are more environmentally friendly. But there is a cohort of farmers that have, intensified. But, talking to those farmers, a lot of them are kind of starting to feel the pressure and are kind of burnt out now because the labour isn't there to milk all these cows. The legislation is changing. It's not their fault. You can't fully blame them for intensification so much because policy has led them there, and they've done nothing wrong. Like, I think the legislation that's coming down the line and with current fertilizer prices, more intensive guys are going to have to really look at their farming model. That, you know, even Chagas have come out and said, you know, entering stock over 3.2 livestock units per hectare isn't sustainable, you know, with the current prices of inputs, and, you know, isn't sustainable. And that's a big thing for them to say, because they would have always been pushing for better utilization of grass, higher output per hectare. With the new eco schemes that are coming in, the new cap, you know, I know a lot of people are opposed to them, but I don't see any problem with them. I've always felt, you know, if you produce a good produce, get the value of it and maybe do away with subsidies. Like, you shouldn't have to my opinion is, you know, you shouldn't have to subsidize an industry. It should be able to stand alone. And if the co-ops were able to, you know, go down that road of, you know, the farmer that was farming more environmentally friendly, he'd get more for his milk than just having X amount of solids and X amount of litres. Because production, when you're being paid on production, that's all you're going to produce is output. A man told me one time, and I took a lot from it, and it was a simple saying. He said, farm your own farm. I've spoken to a lot of new entrants that have gotten into dairy, and they always talk about how many cows they're going to milk. And I'd always say, but how can you know how many cows you can milk when you don't actually know how much grass you can grow, what your farm is capable of doing? Start small and let the farm grow naturally, not going out heavy with fertilizer, not going in heavy with feed for the cows. That kind of ethos, as opposed to, you know, everyone just talks about cow numbers, how many cows are you milking, how many cows can you milk? No one ever thinks about what can your farm actually cater for. Like, just because a farm in West Park can cater for three cows to the hectare, that doesn't mean your farm can do the same. Every farm is different. And that's why I always went with the old way of farming, as a cow to the acre, where you had a buffer either side. And having the cow to the acre allows that bit of space for everything else to be in around the farm. Like, so you don't need to have every field pristine. You don't need to be going out with the same level of fertilizer. Kind of less is more, but, you know, it all goes back to your peers and your discussion group meetings and your stocking rates and your profit per hectare. That's what's driving a lot of it, you know. It's wanting to be in the top 10% of farmers in the country. It's wanting to be, you know, farmer of the year. It's, you know, that is pushing your farm to get to those levels. While I've kind of, you know, I've been quite happy with what I'm at. Like, I've won a couple of awards on the farm already, even though I'm not that intensive. I had a barn owl here one time, and I'd like to see them back again. I saw one on the outside farm, but it'd be nice to have one here at home. Yeah, like, I was delighted to see the two buzzards. Like, they're amazing. Like, they're, you know, you get up early in the morning, you'd see them sitting on the fence post. They're maybe a couple of hundred meters away from you. But, like, when they take off, like, their wingspan is huge. You'd see there out our kitchen window, you'd see, like, a sparrowhawk, and he'd be fluttering above in the air, and then all of a sudden he'd make a dart down to the ground and away. Like, with nature and farming, less is more. Less spraying, reduced fertilizer, maybe a lower stocking rate, and you'll nature will creep back in. Like, I suppose it changes the pace of farming. Farming can be very intensive, and by not spraying, it's one less job you have to do. But it's also the thing with keeping a place pristine, it does a lot of work involved. Like, you know, you're talking, you could spray your fences two or three times in the year. It kind of gives you that, once you accept that those weeds along underneath the wire are fine, it just gives you that, just takes a little bit of pressure off you, that you don't have to have a picture perfect farm. Like, I know that I'm happy with what I'm doing. You see, it goes against the grain of all the advice and everything you're told and every farm walk you go to. What I'm doing is the opposite. Like, we're not, I'll be hosting a farm walk and I'll be told, you know, how do we control the docks? How do we control? And I'll be like, sure, you know, they don't bother the cows. I've accepted them. It's one less job. I'm big on family time and I aim to be finished at 6:30 every evening. And, you know, even at the height of silage, you know, if all the silage isn't in, we'll get it tomorrow. Like, I don't stay out all night. You need a diverse kind of plant life, I suppose, to improve your soil structure. And if your pH is right and your soil structure is right, you'll have a lot of earthworms and you'll have a lot of P and K from those earthworms. And like, by having a few thistles and a few docks and a few nettles, gives that bit of deep rooting plant a different, so it helps the soil structure than having just straight ryegrass. Even the cows, I noticed at times of the year, you'd see they'd eat every dock in the field, and other times they wouldn't. And like the old people used to always say, the docks were full of iodine, that if the cows were lacking in something, they'd eat the docks. The perception of my farm isn't what I'd like it to be. I'd like to think that other people think that I'm good at what I do, even though I know I'm good at what I do. And that's why I've no problem doing things like this, because at the moment, dairy farms getting a lot of bad press. What hurts me the most is that I'm doing my best for the environment and my cows and water quality and everything. But yet we're all painted with the one brush. So there might be a couple of bad apples in the bunch. We're all painted with the one brush. That's the most disheartening thing about it. So like, I know the limit of my farm. And every farm has a limit. The land can only produce so much. The world can only produce so much. I have a big emphasis on animal welfare, like, where we have a lot more cubicles than cows. In a lot of yards, it's the opposite, sort of way around. So, like, we put a huge emphasis on animal welfare because they're the heartbeat of the farm. They're producing the goods. They put food on the table. They put the children through school. They're a lot more than just a cow. Around that cow, then you have your environment. So, like, you need that environment to produce food for that cow. And if you're, you know, if you're cutting all their hedgerows down to a box, the cow has nowhere to scratch or nowhere for shelter. You see, this time of the year, when it's just a straight, lush green pastures, the cows are getting acidosis from a lack of fiber. Everything has its place. You know, that's why I don't cut any of my hedgerows. You'd always see the cows rooting against the hedgerow, and it's like a house farm. We are food producers, but I like to think that we're producing food not at the expense of the environment. That is key, like.